Thank you very much. All right, they'll pass the offering plate, and as they do that, we'll wait till they get down the aisles, and then we'll let the children and Children's Church be dismissed, but pray for VBS. I thought Dave looked a little bit different this morning when I come in and saw that, and I thought, well, they're getting ready for VBS it's going to be a fun, it's always a busy week, when VBS rolls around, but looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in the life of all the boys and girls. So if you have any children in here that have not yet gone, they're free to head on out to Children's Church and go with the workers and those that headed that way. So they want to stay in here and be a part of the offering. So we said that's great and an opportunity to teach biblical principles along the way. In your Bibles today, let's go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. We, at the end of the service here today, are going to serve the Lord's Supper towards the end of the service. But from the Word of God today, you know, there's a lot going on in our world today, and especially as we think about it, especially overseas and a lot in the Middle East and so much. I don't know about you, but I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, keep one ear always to what's going on in Israel, what's going on in that region of the world. There's been a lot going on with Israel and the war in Gaza. There's been a lot going on with some of their surrounding neighbors there and the battles that Israel fights and we know the changes in Syria that have recently taken place. And then recently, the bombing where the United States of America sent some stealth bombers, two bombers, to over to Tehran and took out the nuclear sites that they were preparing nuclear weapons for. And so a lot of things going on in the Middle East, which always raises the question, you know, people are always asking, the Lord's coming has got to be drawing near, very near. And I really believe it is. It's getting closer and closer, and yet we know that no man knows the hour. So this morning I want to preach a message on prophecy, and taken from Revelation here in chapter 3, verse 20, down through Revelation 4, in verse 2. And when you think about prophecy, you know, there's been a lot of prophecy in the Bible that has already been fulfilled all the way through the Old Testament, coming into the New Testament, to the virgin birth of Christ, to the incarnation, to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And so if you look on God's calendar and the way He prophetically lays things out in the Bible, that the next great event that will take place will be the snatching away of the saints, the removing of the saints, the removing of the church from the church age. We live today in the church age. Now, I want you to think back, some of you that have been around for a few years, remember back to the year of 1966, and think about what you were doing in 1966. I was 15 years old at that time, and I remember this event that unfolded. In 1966, there was a 9-year-old girl, and her name was Amber Hagerman. And she was from Arlington, Texas, and she was abducted while riding her bicycle in Arlington, Texas, as a young girl. Well, the FBI began to aid in the search with the local authorities, and it was heavily reported on back in the news media during that time. But out of that event came the development of what we know today as the Child Abduction Alert System, the Amber Alert, where the dissemination of information about missing children is quickly carried throughout several media outlets. You can even see it as you're going down the highway. If there's an Amber Alert out, you'll see it on some of the signs that are on the freeways, billboards, you'll see it on the freeways, on the news, you'll see it, and they call that the Amber Alert. Today, when we and you call that the Amber Alert, and you think about it today, I would call it, and looking at it today, that in the rapture, all of a sudden, when the rapture takes place, there'll be millions upon millions that will be missing all around the world. All of a sudden, they're here. The next moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they are gone. And so America's missing. And when you think about it, the broadcast emergency response, and that was given in memory of Amber Hagerman. But when you think about that, one word describes that, and that is missing. And so what if all of a sudden millions came up missing? I've often thought about that. What would the worship service be like the next Sunday at First Baptist Church of Canton after the rapture? I would pray and hope that the doors would still be locked, there would be nobody here, that they're all saved. But you never know, somebody might come and say, where's everybody at today? They're all gone. They're not here. Why are we not having church today? And you know, the news media, whenever that event takes place, we know very well with the rapid transmission of the internet and the news cycles and that, it'll be all over the world instantaneously that so many have come up missing. So at the rapture, everything will be affected by it. And that's quite interesting. You know, the word rapture itself, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it simply means a snatching away or a removing of the saints. And why is it so is because God is getting ready to reveal his great wrath and his wrath upon the evil world that we live in and upon sin. And so he's going to remove, if you will, he'll snatch away, if you will, and remove the church. So the next event in prophecy on God's calendar is at the end of the church age, and that will conclude the church age bringing taking place with the rapture. The church is gone. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'm glad that I lived in the time period that I lived in. You know, oftentimes, you know, you have a love of, I do, I love it, and going back and looking at the Old West and the days back in the 17, 1800s and seeing church history or history, world history and that down along the way. But you and I are living in some of the greatest of times right now in the church age. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be ready. It's a great time to anticipate his soon coming. And when he comes, it'll be in a moment. And the Bible simply tells us in Matthew chapter 24. Now hold your place here in Revelation because we're going to read these verses here. Go to Matthew chapter 24. You know, it's quite interesting to me that every once in a while, I'll get wind of somebody will come out with a news article saying, well, the Lord's coming back and that. And I've even known people that have literally sold their possessions. I knew one family that sold everything they had, got rid of their home and everything, because they just knew the Lord was coming back in that given year. And guess what? He didn't come back. So I want you to look at Matthew chapter 24, one verse of Scripture found in verse 36. It said, but of that day, talking about the rapture now, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24 and verse 36. So nobody knows. You can anticipate and you can say, well, prophecy has been fulfilled and the next event we know is the rapture, but we don't know. We don't know what day, we don't know what year, we don't know what month, we don't know when that's going to happen. We just need to live every day and be ready as though that day could very well be today. Don't know. It could be tomorrow. Could be the next, but it's soon and very soon. So the word rapture simply means a snatching away, a removing, if you will, and that is what will happen to all born-again believers who are alive at the time Jesus comes for his children. So here it is in Revelation 3. Now in my Bible, when I look at it, in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, a lot of red letters are in those three chapters. And a lot of discussion and Bible teaching on the churches of Asia Minor. The church at Ephesus, the church at Sardis, the church at Thyatira, the church at Pergamos, all these churches. But one thing I find interesting, when we get down past Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, starting into Revelation 3:20, the word church is no longer mentioned. It's like the church is gone. And especially from Revelation 3:20, all the way over to Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20, when the Lord comes back in the second coming, the church is absent. The church is not mentioned. The church is removed. So things are not always going to continue on as they are. It's going to come to a conclusion one day soon. The Bible says this in Revelation 3:20, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. It's the last time you're going to see that word now in Revelation. In verse 1 it says, after this, John the apostle, as he was exiled on Patmos, prophetically wrote down these scriptures, and John wrote this. He said, after this, I looked. God gave John a little bit of a vision. He said, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately, John said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and in sight like unto an emerald. In a moment, John says, is exiled, and so he's caught up in this Spirit, and God gives John the Apostle a little bit of glimpse of what's getting ready to take place. And he's going to see that here it is imminent. It's due to happen at any time. The stage is set. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back in two stages. Stage number one is right here. When he comes back at the rapture, that word rapture, he will be taken up. Christ will return, the Bible says, in the air for his saints. He'll not be standing on the Mount of Olives. He'll not be standing on Jerusalem. He will come back in the air, and the Bible says in the trumpet, and we'll be caught up together to be with the Lord. That is instantaneous. That is immediate. You are transferred out. You are immediately gone to be with the Lord. The second, as he comes in two stages, is at the return of Christ. Christ will return to earth with his saints. I love that. I'm not going to get into that message today, but that's over in Revelation chapter 19, that the saints then will come back. We come back with him at the second coming of Christ, and he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, and we will all come with him at that time, and he will come to do battle against Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and stamp out and deal with all the evil and all the wicked nations of the world. He's coming back to the second coming. That's the second coming. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this first coming is the rapture. So when the rapture occurs, we find it will set in motion the Great Tribulation Period. And the Great Tribulation Period here starts really in chapter 4 of Revelation and goes all the way through Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. So you see that all unfolding, that before God unleashes his wrath, before God unleashes his judgment, before God deals with all the evil, wicked nations of the world, and before he deals with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, he removes the bride, the church, the believers, the body of Christ, snatches them away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now there are three different views on the rapture as it pertains to the whole of the Great Tribulation. Let me just share with you, our church, now what, 67 years old, this church has always taught, always preached, all the teachers have taught and had to agree to teach a pre-tribulation rapture, that the saints will be snatched away before, and the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be removed before the great wrath of God begins to unfold. But there are other people that believe in a mid-trib that will have to go through halfway through the tribulation when the Antichrist breaks his peace pact with Israel, and then he snatches away the church, and the latter 3.5 years become more violent, more wicked. I don't think the Bible holds to that teaching, and I don't think it holds to the third position, which is post-tribulation. That is that the church and the believer is going to go through the great tribulation, and then after 7 years, then the church will be removed. No, God is going to take his bride out, the bride and the bridegroom. He's going to snatch it away. He's going to remove it. He's going to come back in the air. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Tribulation rapture. You're going to be snatched away. You're going to be taken up. And so we find here that teaching, pre-tribulation rapture, is that believers will be taken out prior to the beginning of the Great Tribulation Period. And here is why. Let me show you. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in your Bible. Here is why we teach or hold or maintain to a pre-tribulation rapture. The Bible teaches and that of a wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in rapture form. He's going to deliver the body, the bride of Christ, the believers, from the wrath to come. We find in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, same chapter, and you get down to verse 9 and verse 10, said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, you would believe these verses that God is going to remove the bride before his wrath is beginning to be unleashed. And so you find here, in relation to the rapture, that it's interesting the context of both of these passages has to do with the second coming. The phrase wrath to come is almost always associated with the great tribulation period. When you look here, in, if you will, there's no mention of the church during the great tribulation period. That has been removed. The church has been removed. Chapter 1, Revelation 1, 2, and 3 mentions the church age. Revelation chapter 4 to chapter 19, no mention of the church. Chapter 6, really beginning, Revelation 6 to Revelation 19, deals with the great tribulation period. Now think about this. In times of great battle, in times of great war, kings would always call their ambassadors home before a war. He would remove the ambassadors and then bring them home to their home country. And so the Great Tribulation is a war that will take place between Satan and God. So God is going to call his ambassadors home before he goes to battle with Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the evil nations of the world. We are, let me show you this now. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You are an ambassador of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at it in verse 20. Paul said this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So my friend, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will remove you before he unleashes his great the wrath upon that great tribulation period. So when that happens, when the rapture takes place, many, millions will become missing. Husbands will have wives and wives will have husbands will suddenly be missing. Parents will have children. Children will have parents who will suddenly be missing. Co-workers, neighbors, classmates, friends will rush to file a missing persons report. Won't be able to find them. Gone. Thousands of church buildings, if not a million, around the world will be abandoned. This is just the building. After we're gone, the devil can have it. Cars with no drivers, airplanes with no pilots, courtrooms with no judges, classrooms with no teachers, police cars with no police officers, department stores with no clerks, all missing. It's going to be the news cycle. It's going to be like anything else we've never seen. So questions from those left behind will simply be, well, where did they all go? Who took them? Where did they take them? What are they going? Where are they doing to them? So I want to give you three simple thoughts this morning, and then we're going to serve the Lord's Supper. Thought number one is some of the things that lead up to the rapture, lead up to this great event. We're living, as we said, in the church age. The majority of the New Testament is all about the church age. So here's what we know from the Bible. And to save time this morning, I'm not going to have you turn to every scripture and read it, but you can jot it down. I'll give it to you. And here's thought number one. Events leading up to the rapture is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4, is that scoffers will come. And we see that there'll be many who will not accept the message of the judgment of God. There'll be many that will deny that. There'll be many will hold to no accountability to a holy God. Scoffing means mocking, making fun of. So the scoffers will come. The rapture date setters have not helped the cause of Christianity. No man knows the hour of the rapture, and I gave that to you in the book of Matthew. Here's thought number two on events leading up to the rapture. As we know, there will be an increase of selfishness and materialism. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. Also in Revelation chapter 3, in one of the churches there, the church in Revelation 3, verse 14 to verse 15. And we're living today, we, the church age today, is living in the Laodicean church age right now. Our society is very self-centered. Our society is very selfish. Our society is very materialistic. It's a good sign right before the return of Christ at the rapture. America is becoming a welfare state of an out-of-control federal financial debt. So the philosophy is take care of me first, regardless of the ramifications. Technically, America is a bankrupt nation, skyrocketing credit card debt. America spends money it does not have on things we do not need to impress people many times that we do not like. Think about that as we think about where we're at in the world today. Morality is being redefined on a global scale. Lifestyles that once would never have been acceptable are now common and out in the open. The family unit is often filled with dissatisfaction, with division, and an abundance of divorce. Honoring your father and mother, by the way, which is a Bible commandment, honoring your father and mother is disappearing in our society. Authority is disdained. Freedom of personal choice without restraint is celebrated. And for the believer, for the Christian, hope springs eternal because of our blessed hope. Our hope is the fact that the rapture, the soon return of Christ, is very near, getting close and very close. Here's the next thought, if you will, that when you think about selfishness, scoffers will come, selfishness and materialism will abound, and that leading up to the rapture is the third point, is an unwillingness to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to listen to the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4 on that. In today's world, feeling sincere has replaced submitting to absolute truth in religious circles. We in America lost, I think, one of the greatest all-time Bible teachers this last week in our churches. John MacArthur went home to be with the Lord. He was a great Bible teacher, great expositor of the Word of God. I remember my wife and I being in California one time, went to his church in Sun Valley, California, and that great preacher of the gospel. People today don't want to hear the truth. John was a great expositor of the truth. Biblical truth is no longer essential among many. It is even mocked, ridiculed, even sometimes declared obsolete. So what makes a person feel good about himself and brings no discomfort on his way of life is more important than what God has declared. We should be focused on the truth. Today we see this, what they call the New Age movement. We see homosexual churches springing up. We see Scientology. We see churches meeting in pubs or wherever. Isaiah 59, verse 12 to verse 15, describes Israel's backslidden condition. And if you go back and read it, take time today to read it. Isaiah 59, verse 12 to verse 15, sounds a lot like America. And here's the fourth thought about this leading up to. And that is there'll be an increase in knowledge and mobility. Increase in knowledge and mobility. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel says about the end times, says, many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. And boy, we see that being played out today in our world. Here's number five. The words of Jesus concerning the last days found in Matthew chapter 24. Here's how our Lord put it in Matthew 24. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations. Famines and pestilences. Earthquakes in diverse places. False prophets shall rise and deceive many. And the love of many shall wax cold. That's how Jesus described it in Matthew 24. In Luke 21, it said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, our redemption draweth nigh. Here's number six. Israel is now a nation and back in her homeland. Israel is front and center for all that will happen during the Great Tribulation period. It's no accident, the things that have unfolded. They're unfolding by God's design, by God's divine sovereign hand upon world events. Israel's front and center, and all that will happen during the Great Tribulation is now. They're now in the place for that to occur. Statehood for Israel came in 1948. Whatever happens to Israel is of a biblical and spiritual matter. Keep your eyes on Israel. The stage is all set. I just gave you what's leading up to the rapture. Let me give you now, if you will, leaving at the rapture. You just talked about rides at Cedar Point. Best ride I'm looking forward to is going up in the rapture. Amen. It's better than anything they got at Cedar Point. I grew up going to Cedar Point 2-3 times a year. Leaving at the rapture. That event will happen quickly. The Bible says nobody knows when. You can't guess. You can't surmise. You can't. Nobody knows. If they say they know, they don't. If they think it's going to be this year, they don't know that. Could be tomorrow. Could be next year. Don't know. But we do need to be ready. A lot of verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 24 says, be ready. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, be ready. 1 John chapter 3 says, be ready. Be ready, my friend, because you don't know. Just be ready. It could happen at any moment on any given day. Revelation 4, John said this, come up hither, see the things which must be hereafter. John gave us in Revelation 4, verse 1, 2, and 3, a little bit of glimpse as God prophetically gave it to John. Now, two key things describe the rapture. Number one, Jesus will come back in the clouds, just like we've seen him go in the clouds in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. And then I find it interesting here, John noticed the trumpet. Remember that, when the trumpet sounded? A trumpet will sound. You know, that is God's instrument of choice, the trumpet, at the rapture. In the Bible, trumpets were used for one of two things, a call to do battle and a call to worship. And so we find the trumpet. And the Bible says here that the archangel of God will shout, Michael and Jude and Jude verse 9, and then Revelation 12:7. He is the leader and commander of the angels. It means to give command and order. The God the Father one day will give the command, and that will take place. Let me give you, if you will, another thought along with this, that leaving at the rapture is the dead in Christ will rise from their graves and other places where they lay. Bottom in the ocean? In the cemeteries? 2 Corinthians 5 makes that clear. At the death of the soul and the spirit goes to be the body goes the soul and the spirit goes to be with the Lord. The body is laid in the grave. The Mayberries were here last week. Cindy had a list. She wrote every name down. She showed it to me. Had 72 of our golden agers that used to be in their class that have gone on to heaven, lying in a grave somewhere, waiting on the rapture. Number five on this, thinking about this, is living believers then will vanish from the earth. 1 Corinthians 4, look at it if you will, or 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. Interesting, they'll be caught up together and in this text of Scripture here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, and says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So living believe, if you're alive at the rapture, you're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Number six is the bodies of both the living and the dead will be changed into that which is glorified. The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if you're alive at that moment at the rapture, your body will be changed from a natural body to a spiritual body. Won't have flesh and blood like you and I know it. It'll be transformed immediately at the rapture. And why is that so? Because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we find Jesus in a glorified condition. We know this, that he walked, he could be seen, he spoke, he could be heard, he was able to touch, he was able to break bread and eat and able to disappear and reappear and not bound by gravity. So it will be in resurrection form. Last thought on this point is that in leaving for the rapture, in glorified bodies, the saints meet the Lord Jesus in the air. We return to heaven with him. You are then in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Now, what's left after the rapture? Think about after the rapture. Church is gone, you're in heaven, leaving after the rapture. In America, the majority of the population claims to be Christian. Well, at least they hope they are. The rapture affects more than America. It affects the world. It is global around the universe. Many countries now dominated by other religions will suddenly become superior in population when you remove the Christian population around the world and power to those who are currently Christian majority nations. You have Islam. You have Buddha. You have the Hindus. Those will become the majority religion. The Christian around the world will be removed. So when you think about that, simply being, here's my points about that, leaving after the rapture, is all spiritual influence has now been removed. The church, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, His presence, all spiritual influence has now been removed. Letteth means to restrain. The church and believers will no longer be on earth to restrain evil and sin. Much evil exists in our world today, but because of the restraining work of the Holy Spirit, not as much evil exists as there could be. You remove the church, you take the believers away, you take the bride of Christ away, changes the whole dynamics. Then, if you will, after the rapture, the Antichrist will be revealed. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. The Antichrist will not be revealed until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. No one knows who the Antichrist is. Anytime you hear somebody say, well, I think the Antichrist, no, you don't know. Nobody knows. And thirdly, the fate is sealed for those who have rejected Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12. Those who receive not the love of the truth will not be saved after the rapture, but will be given strong delusion and believe a lie, damned and condemned. So when you think about this as we wrap it up today, the time to be saved is today. The church is still here. You still have an opportunity. You still have the gospel presented today. If you're not saved, I'd encourage you to get saved today, right now. You don't know when the rapture is going to take place. Second thought is now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. For the unsaved, it's today. For the saved, we need to be a witness for Him today, reaching others for salvation. He is coming and coming very, very, very soon. He says, watch and pray and be ready. He's coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for the Word of God that shows us what the next biblical event and Bible prophecy will be to take place. God, may we be ready like You've commanded us. God, I pray for the lost today that perhaps are here or listening by way of live stream, and they're not ready. They don't know if they died today that they'd go to be with You. So God, I pray today, if there's one listening by live stream today and they desire to repent of their sin, confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that You've raised Him from the dead, that they can be saved today. God, save the lost and help the believer to be ready for Your soon return. With every head bowed, if you're here today listening by way of live stream and say, Pastor, I want to be ready, I want to be saved, I want to make sure I'm ready when He comes, then put your faith and trust in Christ and just pray this right where you sit today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner and I repent of my sin. God, I ask You to forgive me. I put my faith and trust today, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. God, today, I desire to be saved. God, today, I desire to be ready for Your soon return. And I'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.